Today I have four questions on one topic. From, I think it's Ananya Chaitanya Das. Unfortunately, again, I erased the names as I'm copying them from one file to another. But this is from the sixth canto. He's asking the question from the fourth chapter. That's right. And he's asking about Daksha. Here it talks about Daksha going off to Gandhamadana Hill and taking sannyas. So the first question is, what kind of sannyas is this? I looked actually at the verses. In the Sanskrit or in the translation, there's no such word as sannyas. That's to be found in the summary, in the introduction, where Srila Prabhupada mentions that Daksha took sannyas. Any more, if I take it on face value that that's correct and not an editorial mistake, then it would seem that Srila Prabhupada is just expressing that he left home, he left everything behind, but he didn't officially take sannyas, but rather he went off in order to fulfill his material desires in a different way, and in order to do that he left home. I remember when 1973, when I went to, at that time I was selling Spiritual Sky incense, and I went for a conference to Los Angeles, and they went to the art department. And there was one devotee who was painting there. I think his name was Vasudev. And he was showing me around. And he showed me one picture wherein Yudhisthira Maharaj is heading off in the Himalayas. And he's got a staff in his hand. So he said originally they painted that picture that Yudhisthira Maharaj had taken sannyas with a tridandi. And when Srila Prabhupada came and saw it, he said, "No, well, this is wrong. Brahmanas, not Kshatriyas, accept the renounced order of life." So any expression of that Yudhisthira Maharaj accepted with himself the fire of the renounced order, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Yatashrita karma palam karyam karam karati." So sannyasi cha yogi cha niragni achakriya. That this fire of renunciation is a mood, it's a mentality. It doesn't necessarily mean formally, officially taking sannyas. And with that type of detachment from the results of one's activities, a woman can participate. What to speak of Kshatriyas or Vaishyas or Shudras, anyone can enter into the mood of sannyas, but officially taking sannyas is for those in the Brahminical order. That was the tradition. Of course, we do a little different. For preaching, we allow devotees to take sannyas, but they should be Brahminical. His other question is, yes, is that he chanted these Hansaguya prayers, and although he was, Daksha was aware of the position of Lord Vishnu, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was worshipping him for material gain, and that's true, he wanted some result. So his question is, why did the Lord become very satisfied for him to appear in his eight-arm form? He became satisfied because he properly worshipped him. He didn't properly worship him in pure devotion, but he properly worshipped him according to the rules and regulations, and he accepted serious austerities for a particular purpose. For instance, Kardama Muni also had a purpose in mind. He wanted a wife, a beautiful wife. And also the Lord appeared before him. in the same way. Well, not in the same way, because that was, you could say, a slight desire on part of Karna Muni. Daksha, as we see, is much more of a materialistic devotee. He's a real Sakama devotee. In his previous life, he'd already committed offense to Lord Shiva as a consequence of his material attachment. Now this is his subsequent life, and he's going to commit more offenses. That seed of offense and that seed of material enjoyment is still there in his heart, and he's going to continue committing more offenses, and this time his offense will be to Narada Muni by cursing Narada. Not a very good thing. But still, because he followed the Vedic system, because he prayed to the Supreme Lord, because he executed the vidhi properly, the Lord was pleased with how he did his motivated devotional service. Akama, sarvakama, mokshakama. The third question, in Daksha's doing these things, what is it that we should learn, and what to follow in ISKCON nowadays? Well, what we should learn from Daksha is, aside from what not to do, is that in all circumstances we should turn to Krishna. We should worship Krishna always. We shouldn't get distracted in the worship of demigods or other things, but we should exclusively depend on Krishna for whatever it is that we need. Although in Kali Yuga there is no facility that for different degrees of faith, there's different types of religious system. For instance, Karmakanda people do one thing, and Sakama people do another, and Gyanis and Yogis do another. Here, anyone, whatever you are, there's only one thing to do, and that's Harinam Sankirtan. And ultimately, your desires, according to Krishna's desire, will be fulfilled or satiated. So that we should learn, that whoever we are, whether we're liberated souls, whether we have material desires we want fulfilled, whether we have material desires we want to become freed from, we should worship Krishna through the Yajnaya Sankirtanaya, through the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And his fourth and final question is, what are the conditions when a devotee has the right to renounce from worldly obligations, and who's recommended to permit this step in ISKCON, for example, if the Diksha Guru isn't present? One has the right to renounce his worldly obligations when he's actually freed from fruitive activity. Really freed from fruit activity, and he's fulfilled all other worldly obligations. Like, for instance, if someone is a grihastha and his children are taken care of and grown up, and they're not being abandoned. Although, to give an example of that to the contrary, but it's not something that works in our present society and is frowned upon, not recommended. And how will you know that that's the case? Well, because Vaishnavas, even if your Diksha Guru is not present, then other Vaishnavas will give you the proper advice. Yes, you're ready to take sannyas. Or they will say, no, it's artificial for you. Don't do it. So on the basis of that type of guidance from Vaishnavas, Siksha Gurus, and so on, then one will know. And if for some reason devotees are not present, Guru is not present, then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, then Krishna will give the intelligence from within. If you're advanced enough to take sannyas, then you will know whether Krishna wants you to take sannyas or not. And the example that I was referring to earlier was that of Sridhar Swami, not our ISKCON Sridhar Swami, but the Sridhar Swami of Bhagavatam commentator, first Bhagavatam commentator, and his life story, or part of it, is such that he was a grihastha. In fact, his wife just given birth to a child, but all the time he was thinking, I should renounce the world. But especially when his child was born, he was thinking, but who will take care of my family? Who will take care of my newborn child? And he was thinking like that. As he was thinking like that, a little lizard fell in front of him, and he just fell out of the tree. And while Sridhar Swami was thinking in that way, then a bug, Prabhupada said, just fell right in front of the tiki's mouth, and the tiki just immediately swallowed it. So then Sridhar Swami said, yes, Krishna will take care. And so he left. As I mentioned, that's not something recommended, because there's no social structure to give support and back up to those who have been left. So it's not sanctioned to do that. But here, in fact, the main point to be gleaned is that ultimately one has to get Krishna's sanction, either through the Vaishnavas or directly from the Lord. Hare Krishna.